and verse 27, and I'll gladly do that. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For we're all the children of God by faith, believe, aims unto Christ," John 3:16, John 3:18, and John 3:36. We can go on and on and on. And then, when one becomes a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, then he is to be baptized in reference to Christ or to imitate Christ. And he knows that I have all the commentators on my side. Number 9, if salvation is by faith alone, is the devil saved? He believed in one God and, according to Mark's writing, acknowledged Jesus to be the Son of God. Mr. Hicks, I'm ashamed that you asked a question like that. And I took care of that last night, but we'll do it again tonight. You know that the devil is not saved. Saving faith and historical faith are two different things altogether. I do not teach salvation alone. I teach that salvation is at the point of faith. And then last, I do not understand, this must be a typographical error here, are the epistles letters that were written to born-again believers. You must have intended to ask me, were the letters of the epistles written to born-again believers? That must have been what you intended. Knowing that you're a human being, and I'm a human being, it's possible for us to make an error. Tell me what the question means. Take my time. Tell me what it means.
It says that there are the epistles, the letters that were written to born-again believers.
They were written to churches, they were written to individuals.
Born-again
born again believers and to...
Answer the question.
They were written to churches and to individuals.
Christians.
Not all, they were not all born again. I'm sure that some of them received the letters that they weren't all born again. Now back to the eunuch and to Philip. And this passage of Scripture reveals that the eunuch was a son of God before his baptism. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God," John 8:14. It also reveals that the indwelling of God in the eunuch before baptism. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, so declares the Bible, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." The fact that the Apostle Paul testifies that he begot, he brought into life, people without baptism administered by himself shows that salvation does not depend on the act of baptism. The Apostle Paul says, "In Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel." 1 Corinthians 4 and 15. Begotten, those that read the original language tell us that which means to bring into life, begotten. And again Paul said, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14-16. Therefore, Paul brought the Corinthians into life without baptism. And having been brought unto life without or before baptism, here are some blessings they received before baptism. The believer is begotten or he's brought into life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God." Whosoever that believes in Jesus Christ is born of God. "And he overcomes the world," John chapter 5, verse number 4. This is done before his baptism. He's out of Satan's control before his baptism, 1 John 5 and 18. The fact that John the Baptist demanded fruit, meat for repentance before baptism shows that salvation comes before baptism. And as I said last night, that John the Baptist baptized those that he baptized those that had repented. He didn't baptize them to get them to repent. He said, bring forth meat, or you bring forth some evidence that you have repented. And we told you that repentance is unto life, according to Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. And my honorable opponent has not said a thing and told us the condition or the state of a man that has repented of his sin. The Bible says repentance is unto life. All right? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3 and 8. But to bear fruit for Christ, one must be in Christ. Beloved, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Jesus said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. John 15, 4 and 5. Therefore, one must be in Christ before he's baptized. The fact that there are New Testament cases of people being saved apart from baptism shows that baptism is not essential to salvation. The woman in Simon's house, Christ said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, if you try to put that under another dispensation, my honorable opponent, you're in trouble, because John 3, 5 took place before the day of Pentecost. Her sins were forgiven. They were remitted. She obtained salvation and she had peace. And I declare it avails nothing to say she was under the law of Moses. You hear me, beloved, it matters not if she were or not. The fact is, she came to Jesus and not to the law for her blessing. And I've never known anyone to go away from Jesus Christ dissatisfied when they came with a penitent heart. And they embraced him. They cleaved only unto him. And they had peace because we've already quoted to you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Beloved, I know, and my friend Mr. Hobbs is here tonight somewhere. Bless his heart, he's a good friend, and he's going to take me to task about this later on privately, but that'll be all right. In Luke chapter 23 and 42 and 43, we have the story of a thief that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I do not believe that Jesus had to take him down off of the cross and baptize him in water. I believe Jesus took him with him. The woman at Jacob's well, Jesus gave her eternal life. The blind man, the fact that one believes on in today's Christ, shows he enters Christ before baptism as belief precedes baptism. Paul says the one in Christ Jesus is to be baptized. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. He actually believes in the Christ and is in symbolically baptized into Jesus Christ. Being in Christ by faith, one shows forth it outwardly by his baptism, Mr. Hicks. And these verses of Scripture, listen, John 3:16, believe in him. John 3:18, believeth on, aims unto Christ. Believeth on, aims unto him. And the same is true also of John 6:47 and 11:25 and 26. The fact that the divine assurance of the time of salvation, it shows that the salvation of the soul is not delayed until baptism. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. This could have been well spoken to the thief on the cross and others in similar conditions and situations, but not so of the doctrine requiring baptism in order to be saved. It would be needless for those who require baptism in order to be saved to preach their doctrine to anyone not in a position to be baptized. Why tell a man to do something he cannot possibly do? The fact that the believer is in possession of blessing that belongs only to the children of God. He is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth upon him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed out of death unto life. Beloved, he believes, present tense. He has life, present tense. When does he receive life? Ladies and gentlemen, the moment that he or she exercises faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and hear my honorable opponent.
Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Hill, my honorable opponent, ladies and gentlemen, guests here tonight. Mr. Hobbs, you want me to shoot him, or are you going to? You just heard a speech by a father, son, and husband. We no longer have Mr. Hill with us. He's got another name now. The scriptures say to debate thy cause with thy neighbor. And I've always believed that it's better to debate a cause without settling it than it is to settle it without debating it. And so in the light of the urgent commissions, I have come to speak to you tonight as a man to men, realizing that someday our photograph will fade and our garments will be moth-eaten and our grave will settle to the level of the ground. And we will all have to give an account to the great judge of all for every word spoken in this debate. For truly many people are hearing the truth the way we believe it for the very first time. One of the greatest experiences of being engaged in this kind of polemic dissertation is the fact that we will have the opportunity to clear up so many misrepresentations to which many of you good Baptist people and Church of Christ people, Methodists, Presbyterians, and so forth, have been subjected to. For instance, that we believe Jesus is his own grandpa and all that silly stuff. So this is an opportunity to tell you how we really believe and to give you what thus saith the word of the Lord. I am having a little shock tonight. I didn't expect Mr. Hill to be here. I mean, you can lose a debate the first night, but to just be clobbered and then come back, boy, he's got something. He doesn't have salvation, but he's got something. I'm glad that he's back. And I'll try to do a better job following him tonight than he did follow me last night. He had 24 hours to sleep on these questions, and what answers he gave us. Inasmuch as the preposition of Matthew 28:19 reverts back to the subject under consideration, which is the name. What is the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost? And he said the name is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, there's not one person that's ever been graduated from grammar school in this audience that doesn't know better than that. Father's the title, Son's the title, and Spirit's the title. And this man knows that. But he's caught. He's stuck. I have 50 points. Why should I bring out 50 of them when he's stuck on the first one? I offered him a check last night, and I signed it Father, Son, and Husband. I offered it for $50 and made it out for $500. I'm going to raise it $100 tonight. I'll sell it to him for $50, and it'll be for $600. And I put Father, Son, and Husband on there. And it's my handwriting. And the check is good. But he won't give me $50 for it, because he knows the only way it can be cashed is if my name is on there instead of my titles. The only way you can have remission of your sins is through the name of Jesus Christ and not the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These men know that. You know that, don't you? You're too smart not to know that. Now, Mr. Hill, you know good and well you've got an old-time respected debater sitting there by you, Dr. Barr. I'm glad to see him. I read his book. Now, Brother Kelly, you help him tonight to do a better job than he did last night. When I get through scalping him, I'll take care of you, too. I asked this man to come up here and tell you what he says when he baptizes, and he was too ashamed of what he says to tell you. How many noticed that? He didn't tell you. He said, I baptized according to Jesus' commission, Matthew 20:19. Why didn't you tell us what you said? You knew good and well why you couldn't tell us. You would be embarrassed to say, because there's no one in the Bible from the day of Pentecost till the end of the New Testament that was ever baptized with Father or Spirit even alluded to in reference to water baptism, but it was always and ever in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that. Then instead of doing what Jesus told him to do, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he goes out and just stands up there and repeats what Jesus said instead of doing what Jesus told him to do. So we found the name of the Father, which is Jesus, and I brought out the verse, the name of the Son, which is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus, and that's why we baptize in Jesus' name, because he is the person in the Godhead, and we'll talk about that tomorrow night. All right, then his other question here, I got to hurry along with these because the answers are so fantastic. I've enjoyed the way he answered them so much. I got to spend a few minutes here. 1 John 4:15, talking about salvation before baptism. Number 3, do you teach that one may believe into Christ? And if I've ever heard a non-professional do a professional dodge, he didn't answer that. He went on to talk about, where did he go? Went to those epistles again, those wives of the apostles. I don't know much about grammar. He bragged about he was from John Brown University. He'd just soon be from Baylor or Brown. What's the difference in Baylor blunders and Brown blunders? They're all blunders. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Where are you getting that, Mr. Hill? You're getting it that was written to people that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Letters to saints. He tried to dodge that and say, well, to some of them, but no, not all of them. If I had a debate like that, I'd close the Bible and never preach another sermon. I'm being honest with you tonight. If I couldn't face a proposition and try to affirm it with a better stance than that, I'd just give up the cause. Because the truth of the matter is, these verses were written to people who had been born again. They were written to born again believing Christians. All the letters were. And he wanted to make a big play on number 10, are or were, and he said that must be a typographical error. No, I meant it just exactly like I wrote it. He'll find out then through this debate, I mean exactly what I say. I don't teach things that are about right, they are right. Are the epistles. I don't mean they were written for one group of people in Colossae and other in Ephesus. I believe those epistles are for the church today. That's why the word are is there. Are they today written to Christians as well as back in those days? Of course he knows they were and are today. He's aware of that. Then the next question is a Bible commandment essential? And he said, all commandments are important. You know why he dodged that one? He knew good and well that water baptism in Jesus' name is commanded. Acts 10:48, and this man knew where I was going. And he tried to head me off, but I'm following where he leads me tonight. Then Peter came. But what happened? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, water baptism is essential to salvation because it is a biblical command. Then he says all commandments are important, but not essential to salvation. Do you teach that our position on necessity, water baptism makes the water the Savior? Well, Mr. Hicks, I understand that what you say over the candidate when you baptize him in water constitutes the new birth. Remember last night, you heard this man talk for an hour since I've had a stab at you, so just get ready. You're going to get double barrel tonight. You see, last night this man went on that little story about Iwo Jima and how man's got lead in his head there and he wants to get saved and he's about to die and Hicks is not there with any water to baptize him. So he has to call on Mr. Hill or Mr. Kelly to help him out because he's got to go to heaven from the battlefield because he's dying. Well, those are beautiful little emotional plays, but the fact still says that though baptism is essential, that doesn't mean the preacher is the Savior. The Bible said God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save. Does that mean the preacher is the Savior because the message he preached saves? Of course not. And I'm going to tell you, the man dying on the battlefield, you better preach to him about Jesus. Does that make you the Savior, Mr. Hill, if you preach to him about Jesus? Forget about baptism a moment. Let's go back to the preaching idea. He can't be saved. How can we be saved without a preacher? How can he preach except to be sent? That's what the Bible says we have to be preached to. And then he wants to know the condition of a repentant man, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm here to tell you that all commandments of Jesus Christ through his apostles are essential to salvation, that God relates to salvation. Then number six, since you teach salvation before baptism, and the scriptures plainly say we are buried with Christ in baptism, do you bury people alive? Then he told you exactly the opposite of what he said last night. He's made a switch on me. He's a schizophrenia. I hope I said that right. But he won't. Last night he says he baptized those who are alive. Now, are they alive or are they dead? Maybe they're like the turtle. Had his head cut off on the road and was still kicking. Two men got in a fight. One said he's dead. He said, no, he's not. Why is he dead? Because his head's cut off. Man, a turtle without a head can't be alive. The other one argued, yes, he's alive. He's still kicking. Well, let's just shake hands and say he's dead and don't know it. Now, that's what's wrong with Mr. Hill. He's just dead and don't know it. Now, what kind of a person does Mr. Hill baptize? He said that's not a live person that's already saved. Now he says that saved person is suddenly dead. Now, Mr. Hill, when you come back up here, tell us, is the convert you baptized alive or dead? I want to know. When you put him under the water, is he dead or alive? John 3:5, he says that has nothing to do with water baptism. That's Oscar Hill Jr.'s idea. John 3:5 has just as much to do with water baptism as it does spirit baptism. Well, what did the Bible say? Nicodemus saith unto him, tell me, what must I do? You know the question, how that he came to Jesus by night and inquired about salvation, and Jesus said a man must be born again of the water and of the spirit. Well, what does that have to do with it, preacher? I'll tell you exactly what it has to do with it. That birth of the Spirit there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For Jesus said, the sound and the wind will attend it. That's the way you'll know. And that's what happened on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And Jesus said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, if that means spirit birth, tell me why the water there doesn't mean born of the water or water baptism. Who is Mr. Hill to discern whether it is or not? He doesn't even have the spirit birth. No wonder he can't see the physical birth. Oh, but he said that physical born of water is talking about the human birth. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Hill. My good Lord had more sense than stand there and look at a man 40 years old and tell him he had to be born of his mother and go to heaven. You think Jesus did that? That Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, you've got to be born of your mother before you can go to heaven? No, he had more sense than that. Don't insult my Lord that way. Let's go right on down the line here. Would you please answer for us verse Galatians 3:27, how we're baptized or buried with Christ to become children of God, is answered. Galatians 3:26, for we are all children of God by faith. Well, of course we are. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. We're saved by His mercy. Every verse can bring out your salvation by faith and believing, we believe it. What kind of faith are you talking about, Mr. Hill? Dead faith that's made alive by a so-called decision? No, a faith that is made alive by obeying what the Bible said. John 7:38-39 said, he that believeth, E-T-H, continues to believe, as the Scripture has said. And the Scriptures say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the way to believe the Bible way. The other way is the way the Baptists believe. I said last night, they don't believe you have to do anything to be saved. Then when you're saved without doing anything, you can't do anything to be lost. So they're wrong on both ends in the middle, too. All right, Galatians 3:26, for we're all children of God by faith. Those who become children of God, the point of faith, are baptized in reference to Christ, to imitate Christ. Can you even imagine such a thing? Is there anybody in here that believes Jesus Christ was a sinner? Is there a one who would raise your hand and say, I believe Jesus Christ is a sinner? Mr. Hill, was he a sinner? We're baptized to wash away our sins, and we're imitating Christ. Now, that's your doctrine. Boy, you're in a hot spot, aren't you? What are you going to do with that? I'm as curious as... It's like, what are you going to do with that? He says, we're baptized to imitate Christ. Our baptism has nothing to do with Christ's baptism.
He wasn't baptized for the remission of sin. And I dare Mr. Hill to come out here and say Jesus Christ was baptized for the remission of sins.
We're not baptized for the same reason Jesus was. He ought to know that if he went to John Brown University. I know that, and I've never seen John Brown.
If faith alone saves, it's the devil saves. He said, Mr. Hicks, I'm ashamed of you for asking such a question. Then he stopped and waved his arms and said, salvation is by believing and by faith. And I can show you according to the Bible that the devils have faith and the devils believed.
Thank you. Then he wanted to know, are the epistles written to born-again believers? His answer says, I don't understand your question. Now he handed me some tonight. I haven't had 24 hours to get mine. But I can answer any question he brings up here, I'll quit and go home. I'm not boasting about it. I just thank God for the word of truth that the Lord has put in our hearts. Number one, were you baptized on a dead faith or a living faith? I was baptized in order to make my faith alive as I obeyed what the Bible said. If I refused to walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood wouldn't cleanse and my faith would become dead and dormant. I was baptized on a faith that was made alive by my obedience. Number two, was your faith working by love when you were on the way to be baptized? I love the Lord. I certainly did. Number three, is there any works of righteousness performed by any man before baptism? Many good men have never been baptized. Number four, in baptism, is baptism a command to a believer or to an unbeliever? It's to both of them. Baptism command is for everybody. Believers, unbelievers, doubters, skeptics, everybody ought to be baptized. Everybody ought to hear the gospel preached and have a change of heart and turn to God and be baptized. Were you, Mr. Hicks, led to be baptized by the Spirit of God or the devil? Can you imagine a question like that? Were you led to be baptized by the Spirit of God or the devil? I know where you're getting, but I'm going to head you off here. I was led to be baptized because of the Spirit and also the truth. I read it in the book. And I had brains enough to obey what the book said. Well, amen. Since your articles of faith says the special revelation of baptism came in 1914, was anyone saved before that? I signed to affirm the scriptures teach. I'm not talking about 1914 or 1849 or 1779. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Let's stick with the word. Number eight, is baptism administered by your group of Pentecostals the only baptism valid today? Group of Pentecostals. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have a group of Pentecostals. There are Pentecostal people all over the world. There are saved, baptized in Jesus' name, Spirit-filled people who are not in the particular organization or fellowship that we're in, but they believe the same doctrines. If you mean that they have to be baptized in Jesus' name to be scripturally baptized, that is right. All right, number nine. Where in the Bible does it say that thy baptism has saved thee? Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Couldn't be plainer. Acts 2.38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That couldn't be plainer. Number 10, Mr. Hicks, do you tell people what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer when they asked what must I do to be saved? He was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus commanded baptism, he was baptized within an hour. That takes care of that. Then he affirmed, tried to affirm a proposition. He says the scriptures. Now what he means by that is the 23rd chapter of his imagination. Or the Baptist manual is not in the Bible. Well, he just got through preaching. That's salvation. Again, what kind of salvation? He looked around at me and said, Mr. Hicks, I'm talking about spiritual deliverance. Well, what kind of salvation you're talking about? There's another kind of salvation that's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, Mr. Hill has stood here and taught you people tonight that it's possible for a man to believe into Christ. I have a key to a 72 Oldsmobile. It's paid for, and I'll give it to him tonight if he can bring one verse where a man can believe into Christ. There's the key. That's it. You Baptist folks, rack your brains. It's not in there. If it were in there, he'd have taken my car home last night. The Bible doesn't say you believe into Christ. It says you're baptized into Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit, if you can find one other way for a person to get into Christ since Pentecost, but to be baptized into Christ, I'll apologize.
Not only that, but the Bible's all mixed up. It says we're buried with Christ in baptism, and we're baptized into Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, Mr. Hill says he believes into Christ, but the Bible says you have to be baptized into Christ. Besides that, in addition to all that, you're baptized into the Baptist church, not into Christ. His baptism doesn't put you into Christ. It puts you in the Baptist church. After you've had a quorum to vote, take six. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch just had a quorum of one. He broke the Baptist rules at the start. Then he says salvation is at the point of faith. Mr. Hill, I want you to come back here and tell us where faith's got a point. I want to know what the point of faith is. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you tonight that faith is not something that comes at a certain moment or a certain second. But when you hear the gospel preached, you are begotten by the preaching of the Word of God, and immediately faith begins to work out your salvation as it becomes alive by you obeying the gospel you hear preached. And from the time you first call on the name of the Lord until the rapture of the church for those who have been baptized in His name and filled with the Holy Ghost, from that moment you have faith working for you. You don't have a particular point of faith. You are saved by faith, a living faith, a walking faith, a marching faith that does not stop. That's not about right. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Even after we're born again of the water and the Spirit, the Christian's walk is still a walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't know what you're talking about, a point of faith. Who ever heard of such a doctrine? Then he tries to establish that we're saved before baptism. Now he needs to read a verse that says that. I told him last night there were three divisions in the New Testament. He denied this. Or at least didn't touch it, top side of the bottom of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are historical records of the life, death, miracles, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told him that there was salvation before Pentecost, but it wasn't the new birth experience. Then he goes to, and he said, Mr. Hobbs is going to get after him on this. Chew him out, Mr. Hobbs. Don't let him get by with that thief. Here he's hanged on the cross. And he begs for forgiveness. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why, that's nothing special. Oh, Zacchaeus climbed up a tree. And Jesus saw him and said, come down this day of salvation. Come to thy house. Why, of course, we believe all of that. But do you climb a tree to get saved? Well, Abraham was saved by getting up and getting out of his country. Now, you better pack up and go if you're going to do that. No, we're in another dispensation, and he knows it. All of his brethren know. We're in another day. After the day of Pentecost, there was something happened that hadn't happened before. The Holy Ghost was given to men. And then Jesus in Luke 24, and I beg him, oh, pretty please, pretty please, pretty please, mister. Luke 24, would you please just quote it, and I'll be happy. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning with John the Baptist in the wilderness? No. Beginning with Jesus' personal ministry at Capernaum? No. Beginning at Jerusalem. Why don't you talk about that, Mr. Hill? Sure, people were saved by just laying down what they were doing and following Jesus Christ and becoming His disciple. We'll talk more about Judas, too. He got on Judas last night. That's bothering that eternal security. I'm going to tie him up on that too one of these nights. I'll tell you what, I'm going to prove that Judas was a disciple and fell by transgression. By transgression he fell, and he'll have to deny the Word of God if he denies that. But he's got him a disciple tonight. Some other debate, he'll disown him. These fellas can take him in or kick him out, whatever they want to do. But why then is salvation before Pentecost? Because the Bible says in John 7:38-39, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock, I will build my church. Not building it now, but I will build it. And the mountain of the Lord's house will be established, and the word of the Lord shall go out from Jerusalem. That's Isaiah, the second chapter, and verse 2. All right, then he brought out this, and let me quote him here. The moment one believes into the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture, please. I want that verse where the moment one believes into the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want your ideas. I'm tired of hearing what you got to say. I want to hear what the Bible says. Let's look at the book. If it's not in the book, don't bring it to us. I want you to show me the point where one believes into Christ. All right, then, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Oh, he picked up one of Martin Luther's favorite verses. He talks about 1914. You know, the Baptists didn't get here till the Congregationalists were here, and the Presbyterians, and the Lutherans. All three of them beat the Baptists here. And I can prove that not only historically, but by other facts from encyclopedias and so forth. He wants to debate the origin of the church. He tries to rattle the chain of succession all the way back to John the Baptist, the founder of his church. Or Jesus and John got together and built it together. I don't know how he did, but Jesus said on this rock, I will build my church. And that's the church I'm in tonight, the one Jesus started. All right. Then he went to Titus 3:5. Thank you for that verse. He talks about being created anew. How? Why? Because a man believes without baptism. He's created anew. Ladies and gentlemen, 5 minutes. Do you realize, do you have any idea what that man is doing with his theology tonight? He says he believes, and then he's saved, and then he says this is the new creation. When the Bible says we are buried with Christ in baptism, and it's then we arise to walk in the, Mr. Hill, the newness of life. You know what that is? That's being born again and starting to live all over again. The Bible says that's after baptism and not before. You gave me another verse. Thank you. Titus 3:5, the washing of regeneration. That's the verse that belongs to the Pentecostal people. That doesn't belong to you Baptist people. You better stay away from that. The Bible says in James 2:19, faith without works is dead, being alone. And you're not justified by works only. No, you're justified by faith only. But faith without works is dead, being alone. So when you obey the gospel, your faith becomes activated and alive. And I say again, repentance is a work. Will you deny that, Mr. Hill? Every one of you Baptists know that you have to repent to be saved. And repentance is a work. Let him deny that, and I'll give him a verse that says it. Answer it, Mr. Hill. Is repentance a work? Then he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, Mr. Hicks, you deal with that. Well, I'm dealing with it. I've been dealing with it. He that believeth, E-T-H, continues to believe, as the Scripture has said, he'll not come into condemnation, but when you stop believing, you'll come into condemnation. That's what John 7:38-39 says. Then I asked him, what about Satan? He said, the very idea that Satan, well, it would be implied here that Satan would be saved. That's his doctrine, not mine. Don't blame that on me. Then he says he reaches the blood before he gets to the water, and he used the dramatic display of the Red Sea being a type of the baptism and the blood on the doorpost. And I told you the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to save sinners. And if it's reaching out in any place and touching a man's heart, no man cometh unto Jesus except the Spirit draws him. So Jesus' blood that was shed for your sins reaches out and finds you. But to say that only the blood is reached before water, this man completely ignores the fact that there's a name involved here in which there is remission. And there is blood here that is brought his power by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder he teaches baptism into titles instead of a name, because the name is where you get the power of the blood. And that's why we're baptized into his death, that we may rise to walk in the newness of life. That's why we're buried with Christ in baptism, not buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mr. Hill, you said you baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Were you buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I want you to tell us tonight. Did all three of them die? Were all three of them buried? Remission of sins, you'd be preaching his name. And because of you get to the blood, that's why we insist on baptizing. And I'm going to tell you right now, because a preacher puts his hand on a convert and puts them down in water and speaks the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean the preacher is the Savior any more than the preacher of the gospel is the Savior. He knows that. He's trying to reflect on our insistence on the greatest thing. And Mr. Hill made a colossal blunder tonight, as well as last night, when he said your little magical formula, you say, over a convert. Ladies and gentlemen, I confess to you, cold chills went up and down my spine when that man called the name of Jesus a magic occult formula. My God, where are we coming to in this generation? When a man will take the only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. A name that God has highly exalted and given him a name that is above every name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And he calls it a magic little formula. Call it what you want to, Mr. Hill, but there is salvation in no other name. For there's none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. So that's your problem, not mine.
He needs prayer. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Honorable opponent, ladies and gentlemen, I have the privilege to come back to you in the affirmative. This will be my last speech tonight. I had the last speech last night, so my opponent has the last one tonight. We've accomplished one thing in this debate. You want to shake hands now, Mr. Hicks, and concede? I've got the man saved before he got baptized. Did you hear him a while ago say that he loved God before he went to the baptismal waters? Listen to the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You want to shake hands, Mr. Hicks?
Huh? You're a good fellow. You said publicly, standing here, I love God before I'm baptized.
You know, some of you, this is the first time that you have had the privilege of attending a debate. And I want to commend you tonight for your conduct. You've been good. But my opponent, I know he's the best that you have, made the most miserable failure of replying to my arguments a while ago that I ever heard. He demands that we show him the verse of Scripture that says we believe in the Christ, John 3:16, one of the greatest texts, and all of you children can quote it. You ask any great scholar, and you've already said you were not, and I'm not, what the original text says about John 3:16. We believe in the Christ, ace in the Christ. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And the eunuch confessed that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The inspired apostle, regardless of my honorable opponent's opinions about who wrote these and why they were written and to whom they were written, he said that whosoever would confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. I want you people to know that tonight. And by his own admission, he stood here in your presence and admitted that he loved God on the way to be baptized. And we read you 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, if I believed what my opponent was affirming and teaches about baptism, I wouldn't wait till tomorrow night to have a baptismal service. If I were you, I'd baptize. If I believed what my opponent believes and what my good friend Paul Hush believes,
I'll baptize you.
I don't know why he's waiting.
Wait on you. I'm sorry.
I would ask my honorable opponent, if he accepts, he's already said so, it's the foundational plank in your confession of faith, John 3:5. The woman in Luke 7:50, the Son of God said this, and I'm willing to accept what Jesus said. He said, thy faith hath saved thee. That proves my proposition. And he had something to say to try to stir you up about Iwo Jima. If Oscar Hill and Elmer Kelly were there, they would become priests because they'd have to preach the word to him. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God says in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a lot of people today that they tell me, preacher, I'm praying for more faith. You just have to pray for it. The word of God said faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God, beloved. That's how faith comes. And his favorite sugar stick, Mark 16:16, he did not tell us last night, and he has not told us, and he has 30 minutes to tell us about it. Does Mark 16:16, is that a conditional clause or a declarative statement? Tell us. I don't know where you went to school. Just tell these people, Mr. Hicks, does Mark 16:16, is that a conditional statement or is it a declarative statement? In my second affirmative, the believer is justified before God before his baptism. And to justify means to pronounce righteous. We become in right...